I posed the question to members during this past week, what have you as a child of God done to help someone recognize his or her need for Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that, or implies that we are, in a sense, like plants. Are like a body, and that every member is expected by God to put effort to contribute to the edification of the body. Bible refers to us as joint. And then it talks about that which every joint supplies. So what have you done this past week to enhance the cause of Christ? To help enlighten someone? To help someone to recognize his or her need for Christ? You will contemplate that in yourself and be honest with yourself and challenge yourself to do better for Christ. While I'm at it, we have just started in our Wednesday night a few weeks of lesson on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. There are so much misconception and misunderstanding, even by members of on the subject as it relates to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What has the Bible taught on that subject? Wednesday night, over the next few weeks, we will be looking on that subject. It concerns everyone. People whose marriage is stable, those whose marriage might not be stable. Because not only do you need the knowledge for yourself, you need to be in a position to help guide others. Searching for answers in the wrong places, that is answers unsolving. This would have been the third lesson. I encourage you to learn as much as you can. We mentioned last week that it is a problem that plagues humanity in the different areas of life. Not only religious or spiritual area, but in all the areas that affect man, we tend, some of us, to look for the right answer when we are confronted with challenges, to look for answers in the wrong places. A man or woman who might be going through economic problems may feel that his or her answer is in the lottery or rather get rich. Or find out that you were much worse off at the end of the day than when you began trying those schemes. A man or woman having health problems might be tempted to check what Jamaicans call the 4-eyed doctor. Because you might have gone to the registered legitimate doctor for once or twice, and because help was not forthcoming, you feel that turning to what we call the bush doctor will be of help. At the end of the day, you find out that you were wrong. And I can go on and on to show that we often look for the right answers in the wrong places. These lessons are meant to enlighten both Christians and non-Christians on the subject. We have given many examples of men and women in the Bible who came under that title, so to speak. We pointed out last week that many people searching do not even know what they are to be looking for. And this is the problem. That the Almighty God will send somebody while they are sleeping and wake them up and tell them, next week, Tuesday, is the day you should become a Christian. Others are not satisfied with this age-old tested revelation of God. They are looking for additional revelation. So they put a lot of weight on their dreams and their so-called vision. You are looking in the wrong place when you put your trust in your dream and your vision. We pointed out that in seeking God's truth and in seeking to relate to the Almighty God in a right way, as you search, you do not search for what you like. You must not be searching for what seems okay to you. We have already been told thousands of years ago that there is a way, help me here, that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. There are men and women who are looking for religion, but what they are really looking for, they are looking for a little intoxication. Religious intoxication. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? These are men and women who want to experience the dance all experience under the guise of religion. That is the same experience that people experience when they go to the dance hall. Many men and women are looking for that in under the guise of religion. Their conscience don't bother them because they claim they were singing what they call it worship and praise to God. But what they really are looking for is a little intoxication. They want to forget their problem, their challenges. Jesus Christ does not make us really forget our problem. He gives us the strength to deal with them. That's right. There are many men and women who are looking for, you know, business of looking for intoxication in religion. And that is common. That is common. That's why we hear in places like the Pentecostal church about what they call it, holy dance. Oh my God, how blind can we get religiously? Dancing and holiness are separate things. That's right. Now, if you want to dance for exercise, don't call that exercise holiness. It's not. You might be exercising for the health of your body. That's what it is. I exercise, but I never mix it up with God's will. Listen, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 32. Let us hear it.
1 Corinthians 14:32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Jonathan, I was about to ask you, do you know what that means? And to help me preach by explaining it. But let me go on. The spirit, many men and women, especially in these so-called holiness group, they don't realize that when the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, one of His manifestations is that you are in control. One way of translating that is the Spirit of the prophet is under the prophet's control. Meaning, the Holy Spirit gives us no gifts that take control of ourselves and make us lose our senses. Never! So anything makes you start to pine away in church and walk on the bench and knock the brother or sister with your hand, you don't blame that on the Holy Spirit. You might be blaspheming, because when we attribute satanic and godly behavior to the Holy Spirit, we are doing injustice to the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the prophet is under the prophet's control. The concept out there in the religious world, and you know, probably I should let this wait because I'm coming down to a point where I'll be showing that when you look to understand the Christian religion, when you look in the various denominations to get understanding, you will be misled. But the passage under consideration, many men and women believe, and where we get this from is our African heritage, our African culture. where people mix up the Holy Spirit is a rational, sane, intelligent being. That's why temperance is one of his manifestations. Mr. Mitchell, remind me again, what is temperance? To be in control. You are temperate. That's the Bible said that is one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the manifestations. That is when the Holy Spirit really dwells in you, you are able to control yourself. So to give this idea that the Holy Spirit makes you jerk your body and you have no control over that, and the Holy Spirit makes you pine away and you have no control over that, that is a lie on the Holy Spirit. You know, I can see why Peter said to the other man, Simon the Sorcerer, pray to God if perhaps, because you see, Peter's concern was that Simon, wanting to buy spiritual gift and spiritual power, which comes through the Holy Spirit, that bothers and blasphemy, and Peter wasn't sure that Simon the Sorcerer would get forgiveness for that. That's why here is an inspired apostle, Paul, this new convert, that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Peter, take time with the man, okay? He's a new convert. No, Peter felt that that severe rebuke was necessary because he thought the gift of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the prophet, is under the prophet control. So if you're seeking intoxication in religion, make sure you realize that that is not from God. Verse 40 in the same passage, brother, quick. 1 Corinthians 14.
Verse 40.
Yeah.
Let all things be done decently and in order.
Everybody gets it. So the thing that because you are a church or you're worshiping God, you can just do what you like, what you feel. Where do you get that from? God wants everything to be done decently and orderly. And that is from the Holy Spirit. Are we all there? But not only that, some people are, where we are, you know, we are looking on the fact that many men and women do not even know when they are searching for God, for Christ's truth. What many of them are finding that they are looking for what they like and what they want. And I'm here to help you understand some of the things that you must not search for in religion. Because that is not what Jesus Christ wants for you and me. Many men and women are looking for religious entertainment. When they come to what they call worship, they come largely to get, not realizing that when you worship God, you come largely to give. That's the essence of worship. We offer. We give to God. That's what worship is about. Now, God gives to us. That's why we are to be willing to give to Him. That's why it is so ungrateful when Christians come up with reason why they ought not to be in service regularly. Wait, I said they come up with reason and excuse. why they are not. You know, God, from what the Bible teaches, all through the New Testament, the Bible gives example of how the first century Christian met regularly. When you and I now find reason not to be in every worship, you are saying more to God about your unconverted heart than you realize. Because God has given us so much, we should want to give back to Him. So you don't come to worship largely to get. That's not what worship is about. You hear people talk about praise and worship. That's the aspect, you know, listening to, because I've sat down and listened to people explain to me. And what you read is that aspect of the worship that they do for themselves. It's what that worship does to them. But my God, worship is not so much what it does to us, is what we do for God. Truly. Investigate it from the Bible. That's what worship is about. To ask that to God. Don't stop looking for entertainment. Are we all there? Look at Isaiah chapter 58. And verse 13. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. 21 and 22. We come to give, not to get. Worship is not, never was, never will be entertainment for the worshiper. Amen. And that's why many of you don't enjoy worship. Because you're always coming for something to be done to you rather than you doing something for God. You will never enjoy worship when you come with that attitude. Did I say Isaiah 58 and verse 13?
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath.
To match that, there's another passage found in the book of Numbers 16:28. Now I remember that I also give you 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 21 and 22. Now listen up. Let us hear it, brother.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath.
In context, the passage was addressing the Israelites. Are we all there? Because the Sabbath was never given to anyone but the Israelites. But in application, the passage is speaking to us. In application. But not in context. Let us hear it.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath,
uh-huh,
from doing thy pleasure on, uh-huh, on my holy day.
Wait, doing, you know this? Huh? Doing what, brother?
Doing thy pleasure.
The word pleasure has to do with pleasing yourself. Satisfying yourself. And what the Almighty God is telling them, that when the Sabbath come around, it's not about satisfying or pleasing yourself.
Yeah.
It, don't come. Don't celebrate the Sabbath with satisfying yourself, getting your own pleasure. In effect, it's really God's pleasure that you come to give.
Amen.
Read on, brother.
On my holy day,
uh-huh,
and call the Sabbath a delight,
mm-hmm,
the holy of the Lord,
mm-hmm,
honorable, and shalt honor him,
mm-hmm,
not doing thine own ways.
You must not do your own
ways, nor finding thine own pleasure,
nor find your own pleasure,
nor speaking thine own words.
Somebody didn't hear that, Jonathan. Y'all get it? In worship, we do not seek our pleasure. We do not engage in our ways. We must not even speak our own word. Oh my God. In fact, I want 1 Corinthians, but listen this passage in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 28. Moses is speaking.
And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to..."
Wait. When you all see, you Israelites, and you defiant, arrogant Israelites, who want to encroach on what God laid down, when you see what God do, you are going to realize something. This is what you're going to realize. Read.
"Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me..."
Uh-huh.
"...to do all these works..."
Uh-huh.
"...for I have not done them of mine own mind."
You all got it? Huh? "I didn't do them from my own imagination. What I think, what I like, what I..." Moses said, "I didn't do them from my own mind." Moses was only a messenger that God used, or an instrument to carry out his will. Moses says, "I didn't come up with it." And when we are serving and worshiping God, whenever it's things that we come up with, we are in problem. Are we all there? I like 1 Corinthians 11, 21 and 22.
"For in eating, everyone taketh before other his..."
Mm-hmm.
"...own supper..."
Mm-hmm.
"...and one is hungry..."
Mm-hmm.
"...and another is drunken..."
Uh-huh.
"...what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in?"
May I? That's another passage I like. The implication here is, when you come at God's house, not the building, but God's people, when we assemble ourselves to worship and serve God, we don't do things at God's house the way we do them at our house. Paul says, "Have you not houses to eat?" But Paul, what's the difference? We can eat at our house and we can eat at the Lord's house. Paul said, no. When you eat at God's house, you will eat the what that God stipulates,
yeah.
And you will eat the how that God specifies. That's right. That's worship. Read that. Somebody didn't get that, brother.
"What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in?
Mm-hmm.
Or despise ye the church of God?"
Brother, where they were eating at worship and drinking at worship, but they were acting as if, when we are at home, when I feel peckish, I can go in the fridge, take what I want, and I can eat to my belly full, or if I'm watching my weight, I can limit it. You do what you want. Paul says, no. You will have to respect how God wants you to eat. What?
"Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in?"
Uh-huh.
"Or despise ye the church of God?"
Brother, wait, there are certain things we do in the assembly that when we do them particular way, we are showing this respect. The concept in the word despise there is that you have no regard for God's stipulation and for other Christians. And what the passage is teaching, you do not just eat any and any way and any what at God's house. You like bun and cheese? Eat that at home. Don't ask us to put it on the Lord's table. You like jerk chicken? Yes, God have nothing if you eating that at home. But don't put it on the Lord's table. Oh Lord, have mercy. And every time I go to my district, it brings back pleasant memories. When I was growing up, at that time I wasn't going to church, but my grandmother, Rhoda Mitchell, she was one of the staunch ladies in the group that called themselves Church of Christ. They used music and other things. And there was a gentleman, dear Mr. Richards, relative of ours. That man was about, because his son and my father were on the same age, but he was one of the leaders. He was about 6 feet 6 inches. And he felt the little piece of bread that they give at the communion, it was too small. He carried his own piece of hard bread. That's right. What a thing as ignorance, eh? Because you don't eat hard or bread in God's house. You get the point? And many people don't realize it. The Bible, the passage the brother has here before in the book of 1 Corinthians 11:22, 21, 22 is telling us that worship is a different thing. Are we all there? You do not look when you are looking for church. Worship God, the truth. You do not look for the church of your choice. I pointed out here almost every week over the past 3 weeks, and it is necessary that always remember, Christians, please remember, because God expects you and expect me to teach others that anywhere you are allowed to have the church of your choice, you are also allowed to have the Savior of your choice. Remember, the church is the body of Christ. If you can have a church of your choice, you can have a Savior of your choice. And you know that. You know what? The Almighty God did not give us multiplicity of Saviors. Neither did he give us multiplicity of churches. Are we all there? Many today, like Naaman, got misdirected and got hung up on the wrong thing. Run to it for me now. Run to it for me now. That is Kings. I think it's 2 Kings chapter 5. What did you say, Mr. Mitchell? Many people today are getting hung up on, just like Naaman, they are getting misdirected in their thinking about relating to God properly, and they are getting not only misdirected, they are getting hung up on the wrong things. Watch here now. Let us hear. And that is chapter. Let us hear, brothers. Pick me up the verse where Naaman got masked. Let me hear it.
But Naaman was wroth and went away.
May I hold it there, Jonathan? May I? Brother Mitchell, what you're preaching on?
Well, the same thing I've been preaching on for the past 3 weeks.
Where men and women are looking for the right answers in the wrong places. Naaman had a need. One, he was directed to the king of Israel. But the king of Israel did not have the answer to his problem. And then two, well, first he was not even directed to the king of Israel. He went to his own king with the problem that he was diseased, dying of leprosy. And the king of Syria, it's Syria, Syria did not have the answer. Then he was directed to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel did not have the answer. What is the point? That's what we are talking about, that men and women are going to the wrong places for the right answer. And you will not get the answer. He was directed to God's prophet. To God's prophet. So let us have it now. God's prophet told him what to do.
But Naaman was wroth.
Naaman, that means he was vexed. Watch it. What was this man vexed? He was simply told what to do to get rid of his disease that would ultimately take his life if he did not get any cure. My God, what a blessing. What a blessing to be told, if you take this medicine, you will get better. When the doctor gives you that assurance, you know, that this works. The doctor is speaking from experience.
Yeah.
This works. And the prophet Elijah wasn't hesitant, doubtful. Go and wash in Jordan sometime, and your skin going to come back as it was before. You will be healed. Whoa, the man should jump and prance. But just like many of us, if we are not told what we want, what we like, what we preconceive, we are going to get mad and criticized. Searching for answers in the wrong places. So he got mad.
And went away. And said,
Watch here now.
Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me.
Yeah, wait. You see what I see? Here Naaman get hung up with procedure. Can you believe that? That is how he wants to be healed. Brother Mitchell, do you know it's the same thing in religion? Many men and women have already decided what kind of church they want,
right,
how they want to be saved. That's not our business. God is the only one who can tell us how to be saved.
Right.
And you know what? He revealed that in the gospel. So Naaman got hung up with procedure. I thought
he will surely come out to me. And stand and call on the name.
You see how he had the detail? Oh my God. you notice how he had the detail? The prophet was not even supposed to sit down to rest his leg. He's supposed to stand. And he's supposed to call upon the name of his God. And he's not supposed to speak. He's supposed to strike his hand off.
The man had
every detail worked out. But I have news for you. Procedure that Naaman got mixed up on and hung up on was not Naaman's business.
The same way many people come to God seeking to be saved, and they want to pay to the Almighty God. When you take the Bible, and show them, say, read it, Miss Jane. Read it, Mr. Thomas. Here it is. Read it. You have it in your Bible. And they read it. They'll shut the Bible and still hold on to what they want. Searching for right answers in the wrong places. The solving our sin problem is not in ourselves.
Amen.
Procedure. Read on.
And strike his hand over the place,
mm-hmm.
and recover the leper.
Mm-hmm.
Are not Abana.
Whoa. God have mercy upon us. The very place, if his healing going to be calling for a place that it must be done, Naaman had that work out. Just like you want the church of your choice, same thing. Are not Phar and Abana,
rivers
of Damascus,
better than all the waters of Israel?
Oh Lord, have mercy. Better than nothing is ever better than that which God gives.
Amen.
Nothing. Why can't I be washed in them and be clean? You know why you can't, Naaman? God says Jordan. Well, all the churches are the same. They are not. I can be saved in my church just as I can be saved in yours. You can't be saved in any man-made church.
Amen.
And that is what Jesus Christ meant when he said, any plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted. Christ was not talking about botanical plants. He was talking about religious institution. The context for that. Naaman also got hung up not only on procedures, he got hung up on the very place that he thought. If a place is necessary for him to be healed, why not the rivers in his country? Brothers and sisters, God did not give Naaman a choice in the river. Neither does the Almighty God give us a choice in the Savior, our church that's going to save us. I'm here figuring out what to finalize this aspect of the lesson with, because there are so many things. May I? Let me see if I can take another 5-10 minutes deal with this. I've been saying for the past many weeks, and I've been promising, and I'm still not sure I'll get to that today, that in serving and worshiping God, all the examples that we have seen in the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is that wherever men and women go outside of God's prescribed directive or reveal will to serve him or to worship him, wherever and whoever
there has always been terrible consequences. You get the point? That is, men and women were never allowed by God, one, to serve God by the dictates of man. Two, to worship God by what man wants or man desires or man desires. Never! And in every case that we can look on in the Bible, Old and New Testament, the Almighty God has always show that there are terrible consequences. Let's start the journey. We just start it this morning and finish it next week. We are going to go through the Bible and pick up a few examples. The first one, everybody knows it. But there are certain things that for the next few minutes I have, I hope I can help you as we look at one. Let us look at the first one, Cain and Abel. It's among the first worship recorded in the Bible. Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4. From verse 1 to verse 7.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Yes, one was a shepherd, one was a farmer.
And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock.
You see what I see? Two brothers worshipping the same God. It's important to note this, that it's not that they are worshipping different gods. And Christian, it's important to understand these lessons so that in simple ways you can teach others. Both went out, set out. Both attempted to worship the same God. I have some news for you. Both of them were sincere. I'm not going to be able to go in detail with that now. But I can just throw on here that when Cain's worship was rejected, he got disappointed and upset. That tells me that he thought God would have accepted what he gave. Read on, brother, quick.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect.
Brothers and sisters, do you know that we all can be worshipping in the same place, under the same roof? And some of us worship is rejected by God. Are you all there? We must make sure as individuals that we worship God in sincerity and according to His Word. We must make sure that's what we want, to be directed by His Word. Read on, brother.
And Cain was very wroth.
Cain got mad.
And his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain,
notice God's word now to Cain.
Why art thou wroth?
Why are you vexed?
And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well.
Doest well mean if you have done right. If you have done right.
Shalt thou not.
Same applies to us. When we do right, God will accept it. But you know what? That right must be measured by what God directs us to do. God says, if you have done well, if you have done right, shall you not be accepted? That's important. That is telling us that once you do what God asks you for, He will accept it. If you are sincere. But let's shine a little light here, because this, you see, you need some light here. But Brother Mitchell, Cain was sincere. He thought that God would have accepted what he gave. I have some news for you. You can call it breaking news. And that is, God never allow man to guess what he wants. You must remember that. The Almighty God has never left that up to man's mere imagination. How do I know that in this case, God gave them directions in respect to the why and the how? Turn to the passage for me. Genesis. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4.
By faith, Abel.
By
faith,
Abel offered unto God
A more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Could we break up here a little? By faith. Now, you're there thinking, but Brother Mitchell, I believe in God, so my worship will be accepted. Well, there's more to this by faith than belief. Are we all there? There's more to this by faith than mere belief. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Because this by faith means that he listened to God's word. Are we all there? That's what this by faith means. What you know in the book of Romans. Wait. It's always good, Christian. It's always good for you to tie Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 and Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Very important. You will not understand this passage without the light that this shines on it. Christian, write it down, because God expects you to teach others. Notice here now. By faith, Abel gave a better worship than his brother. The question is, what does it mean by faith? How did he get this faith? This passage tells us. Let us have it.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
You understand that, Jonathan? Because what it means is that faith, to be acceptable faith, to be productive faith, to be true and genuine faith, it must have as its basis the word of God. Faith, to be good faith, saving faith, must rest on God's directive. What the Bible says here when it says by faith Abel offered unto God, it means that by listening to God's word and obeying it in respect to his worship, he was able to please God. You all get it? So now I come back to the point as I close with it. That shows that God would never have accepted not only Cain's worship, but anybody's worship, if that worship is not guided by God's word. Nobody.
Wait, we are going to be examining a few cases, you know, from Old to New Testament. This is just one. We have probably another 5 or 6 cases, and we are going to go down to, you should understand this passage better today. By faith. What does it mean by faith? By listening to God's word. How do I know? Romans, Hebrews chapter 11, 4 and Romans 10, 17. By faith Abel offered unto God a better sacrifice than his brother. Faith comes by listening to God's word. And in this case, not only hearing God's word, but going by it. That's right. Because Abel did not just listen to it. Abel offered his sacrifice according to the dictates of God. Searching for answers at the wrong places. We close with the point that we have just emphasized. That throughout the entire Bible, and this is just one of many cases, and we're going to examine probably a few more cases in the last lesson on this series, in this series next week. The Almighty God has never accepted any man's or woman's worship or service to him if it were done outside of God's directive or God's prescribed revealed will. Never. By listening to God's word, Abel offered an acceptable worship than his brother Cain. Cain, rather. His brother Cain. You and I don't want to offer worship to God that is not accepted. And the only way, or one of the ways that we can make sure, is that we are guided by the word of God. I would like to say to members of the church that the concept out there that all worship is the same worship is foolishness. Yeah. And you should be in a better position today. If you have no other passage, you have just these two passages. This one and this. To show that it was being directed by God's word and God's word only, that Abel's worship distinguished itself from that of Cain. And it's the same today. Men and women who are guided by man's tradition, by what they like, what they feel, what they want, how they see things, they can never worship God acceptably. If you are here today and if you are not a child of God, the Almighty God brought you here today to be enlightened, to learn. Don't walk away from the truth that you have learned today. In the Word of God, in fact, it was Jesus Christ himself said it, that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are in a better position now to become a child of God the right way than you were yesterday, because you are better enlightened by God's truth. The brother is going to come and lead us in a song that we will sing to God's glory. It is always a good chance at that time for you to respond to Jesus' invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden? Heavy burden? Yes, there is no burden that is greater than the burden of sin. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can address that. As we stand in love, in mercy, in grace, Jesus Christ says, come. As we stand.